No! God, these all suck! Chad, expand search to include vampires, slashers, and... what's scary, and... Oh, cops!
Oh, hey, Dave. You're up early. Where's Ryan and Jackie?
I sent them to Bartertown to get some candy corn and pumpkins. At least what passes for pumpkins in the wasteland.
Oh, yeah. Shocktober's here, isn't it? Hell yeah. Last year was awesome. And with this year's Summer Film Fest being such a big hit, Shocktober is going to be even better. Yeah, I'd sure hate to be you right now, Dave. All that pressure to live up to 2 successful film fests in a row. Lot of pressure. Anyway, so what did you choose for your Shocktober pick?
Well...
You haven't picked anything? How the hell have you not picked anything? It's October 1st, Dave. We all picked our movies months ago.
I know! I can't find anything good! And the ones that do look promising, you guys already picked!
Yep. Lots of pressure, Dave. I'd sure hate to be in your shoes right now. Being the manager of the store and all, and staking your reputation on Shocktober Spooktacular Part 2 being the best film promotion we've done yet. Yep. Lots of pressure.
Oh, shut up! Oh, shit. Who the hell is that? We don't open for another 3 hours. You don't even have candy corn, Mike. The candy corn!
Relax, Dave. Jesus. Nick! Hey, man.
Oh, thank God.
What brings you to these parts so early in the morning?
Well, the word on the street is... Dave hasn't picked a movie for Shocktober yet. Luckily for him, I just happened to be in the area.
Wait, how the hell do you know he hadn't picked a movie yet?
I have recording devices hidden all over the store, Dave. Please.
Oh, whatever. I'm too busy right now to worry about a massive invasion of privacy. What do you got? I'm not gonna lie. I'm desperate.
Well, to be honest, I haven't actually seen it. But I did watch the first one on the way over here, and, it was surprisingly decent. It was tough to pick a sequel that wasn't super obvious, you know? I was trying to pick something that no one has seen.
Oh, God, I forgot it had to be a sequel.
The whole sequel thing was your idea, Dave.
Well, I'm sorry! What do you want me to say? With all the Mountain Dew Livewire I drink, my long-term memories turned to crap! So come on, what's the movie, Nick? We've gotta hurry, the store opens in a few hours.
Right here, in this collectible toilet bowl packaging.
What the hell?
Ghoulies 2? Are you kidding me?
What? I told you the first one was okay, and look at that cover. Come on! It's a little monster coming out of the toilet. What more could you want?
I know what the cover of Ghoulies 2 looks like, Nick. I saw that damn cover in every horror section of every video store I ever went to as a kid.
Exactly. It's a horror staple. So what do you say?
You said it yourself, Dave. It's 3 hours till we open and you're up shit creek without a paddle.
How long is it?
A breezy 89 minutes.
Oh, good. Ryan and Jackie are on their way back with the Halloween stuff. Maybe we can pull this off after all.
Yes! Ghoulies to the rescue.
Ah, you see, you say that name and I'm already having second thoughts. Let me think. You said it's under an hour and a half, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll hold a screening of it in the store before we open, and if it's even halfway decent, we'll include it in the Shocktober lineup.
Yes! You won't regret this, Dave. After all, it's only 89 minutes long. How bad can it be?
Thank you. the neo-post-apocalyptic wasteland, the last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight on horror. Welcome to the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular, Part 2. In our possibly first episode, the producer of Robot Jocks and Castle Freak brings you the most terrifying Gremlins ripoff since Critters. Don't forget to put down the toilet cover. It's Ghoulies 2!
The carnival's back in town with all your old favorites. The Ferris wheel. The Roundup. The Octopus. Beautiful Girls. The Spook House. Bumper Cars. And a special added attraction. It's got Ghoulies, too. They walk, they talk. They crawl on their bellies like
reptiles.
This place is better than Epcot Center.
Ghoulies, too.
Definitely scary, mister.
Close Carnival Hard before they kill again.
$1,000 to any man who brings me one alive.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the bathroom, Ghoulies 2. They'll get you in the end again. Ghoulies 2.
Rats! 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 Rats!
Well, I'm David Snyder, and this is sort of a secret recording. I don't know if this will go out or not. I'm still trying to determine if this movie will officially be in the programming for Shocktober 2.
Just maybe be honest, you're worried about the profits.
I'm worried about the profits. I don't know if I want a movie that literally starts in the shitter to open up Shocktober 2. It might be bad
business.
It
can only go up from here.
You know, that's true. That's a glass half full outlook. I didn't think of it that way. But maybe by the end of this discussion, Ghoulies 2 will we'll be able to see the corn in the crap, if as it were, with the shining glints of corn in the turd that is Ghoulies 2.
All right.
Maybe we should just stop like now. Say,
I'd just like to say, this movie, I'm Dave, I'm joined by Mike.
I don't go anywhere without my tunes.
my tunes are in there.
My tunes!
Tunes, man.
And the evil carnival magician master that brought this on to us, Nick.
Ala Nana Kabala.
So I just want to say up front, Ghoulies and Ghoulies 2 are movies that I was aware of. These are two movies that had very, I don't want to say iconic, but memorable VHS covers. They were the types of movies that you would go into a video store, see them in the horror section, and be like, ooh, I need to rent that. There's a demon turd monster coming out of a toilet. That looks like a fun movie. But I never did.
I'm surprised you never rented this. This is like right up your alley, Dave.
It seems, yeah. It's
checking all the boxes.
It was one of those things where, like, you know, these crappy movie studios, these B, Z grade studios like this one, Empire Pictures, like this is the era of the late 80s where, like, your movie, like, being seen depended on it having a cool VHS cover. That's what they needed to grab people and pull them in and rent it. This one definitely falls under that category. And I gotta say that
This movie almost is false advertising. Almost. It lives up to the promise of its poster / VHS cover in the very end. But it's, I don't know. It's to me, it's too little too late, but we'll talk about it. I'm wondering what your guys' takes
well,
are.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because as the initiator of Ghoulies 2, I did some research and I checked out Ghoulies 1. And if you thought the advertising was possibly false in the second one, boy howdy, you would be upset with the first one, because
really?
The first one is a strange phenomenon, in my opinion, because it's almost not about the ghoulies, and the ghoulies have a very limited presence. And so going to the second one, having seen the first one, I came up with this fan theory that people went into Ghoulies 1 wanting ghoulies and wanting like hijinks, because it looks wacky from the poster. You know, it's got the...
They wanted things coming out of toilets.
They needed like a toilet death. I mean, there is... The toilet does show up, but not like... The toilet is probably my favorite scene in the second one. But but then I think that then they went full throttle on the other side of the spectrum and went just wacky and creature hijinks and stuff like that. So Ghoulies 2 is what I expected when I watched Ghoulies 1.
Oh, wow. Okay. So technically we got the best, intro to Ghoulies.
See, according to the Chattopedia, Ghoulies 2 is unrelated entirely to Ghoulies 1. I'm wondering, since you watched it, this movie opens with like
a
priest, like with a bag of ghoulies, and I was thinking that in my head that was like, oh, this is like one of those where it's taking place like right after
the first movie
was this priest like exorcism style and has bagged up the ghoulies and wandered off into the night.
That would require more work, I think, on the part of the movie makers to create that unity between film 1 and 2. But the only thing that essentially unites these two films are the ghoulies themselves. So there's one new ghoulie that shows up in number 2, but the other...
Can I guess? Is it the flying ghoulie?
No, that one was in the first one, okay. If I remember, because that guy looks like Donatello to me. But it's like the big alligator guy, that one.
Oh, like the mecha ghoulie at the
No, well, that guy, that's a unique ghoulie. He doesn't count to me as far as like the crew of the ghoulies.
The one with like the spinosaurus fin on the
back?
No,
he's the one. So spoilers, he's the one that is in the bumper car and runs over that girl. The alligator ghoulie.
I don't remember this ghoulie.
He's literally on the banner of the letterbox.
Oh, that
page.
One. Okay, that one. Okay.
He looks so like alligator to me.
Okay.
There was a lot of hijinks in this movie.
But yeah, the
not enough for my opinion.
The first one is just kind of like a standard satanic romp kind of thing. It's really interesting. totally not what you would expect. But this is Ghoulies 2 is like Ghoulies back in action or something.
So it sounds like Ghoulies 1 is kind of more like maybe a little more akin to like Hellraiser, where it's like all the posters and everything, everyone in people's memories, like, oh, the Cenobites are everywhere, pinheads everywhere. But he's really just kind of like a supporting thing to the main bad guy. Like, is there like a magician sorcerer guy that's the
yes,
main bad guy?
Yes, there is. There are.
Oh, okay.
It's all
sense.
Black magic. It's all occult.
Is it, I know this is Ghoulies 2, but real quick, Ghoulies 1, did you like it?
I liked Ghoulies 1. It's fun trash. I did not like Ghoulies 2. It is trash.
Even though, ironically, Ghoulies 2 delivers on Ghoulies, and Ghoulies 1 does not.
So why do you want us to start our Shocktoberfest with
this,
then?
What was your pitch here? Let me guess. You hadn't seen Ghoulies 2. You'd seen Ghoulies 1, and then you're like, Ghoulies 2 is probably going to be even better. This is what I'll pitch them to start.
I'm going
to
throw out there.
October promotion.
I'm gonna say, I kind of love this movie.
Really? Oh, wow.
I did not see either of these before sometime in my life until now.
I'll watch them on the drive over to Apocalypse Video.
Yeah, I had it playing on my Minitube in my Apoco tractor.
I'm glad we watched this one, I'll say. I also want to point out, just some Chattopedia facts about this movie that I like. Not facts about the movie, really, but this is specifically a fact about the Chattopedia of the movie. There isn't one. It only gets the indignation of having a section in the Ghoulies franchise page. But okay. Ghoulies 2 does not deserve its own Chattopedia page, which I thought was funny. I don't think that's ever happened before in a movie we've covered.
No, I mean, the dumbest, stupidest, most obscure things always have Wikipedia pages. I can't believe Ghoulies 2 doesn't have one. That's wild. Or Chattopedia, excuse me.
Yeah, different thing.
Wikipedia is too expensive.
I do want to say, in looking at the Chattopedia franchise, there were 4 Ghoulies movies. The third one might be the best one, just going off the title. So, like, it's Ghoulies, Ghoulies 2, and Ghoulies 4. But Ghoulies 3 is called Ghoulies 3, : Ghoulies Go to College.
Which, honestly, after watching Ghoulies 2, that makes sense. Because Ghoulies 2 could have been basically like Ghoulies 2, Ghoulies Go to the Circus, or something like that. Like, where are we going to put the Ghoulies next? And can we all agree right off the bat, before we get into like a plot synopsis, that Ghoulies is basically, at least in this iteration, Ghoulies 2, I can't speak to Ghoulies 1, but Ghoulies 2 is basically like a ripoff of Gremlins.
It's a whole, yeah, I mean, duh. Like, this is totally like the cheapo knockoff of like, hey, we don't need Gremlins, we have Ghoulies at home. Like, but I will say, they're a little different. Like, they're more twisted, if you will. Like, I don't think the Gremlins would be, like, slicing people in half or, like, putting people in, like, an Iron Maiden.
Have you seen Gremlins?
I have.
I think the Nick, back me up here. I think the Gremlins are more twisted, have more of a personality than the Ghoulies.
Well, I didn't say more of a personality, but
more of a personality for sure.
They definitely do. I'll cede that.
So it's funny that you say that they're Gremlins ripoffs, because in Ghoulies 2, I completely agree. In Ghoulies 1, they didn't start out as Gremlins ripoffs. Well, I think in the advertising campaign, that's kind of what they wanted people to think. So people would say, you know, we like Gremlins. We will like Ghoulies. But and then it's you like, would get something completely different. But it's not until this movie that they actually become the Gremlins ripoff and you know, do all the wacky stuff. Because the Ghoulies are, I don't know if it's clear, they kind of mention it, but they're essentially like little Satan's minions.
Oh yeah, they say in fact every character refers to them as demons,
imps, sprites,
or rats.
rats. But yeah, I think the Gremlins definitely have a more of a personality, but the Ghoulies, I think, are more on the horror side, whereas I think Gremlins are a little. And I haven't seen Gremlins 2, granted. I've only seen the original Gremlins.
You should have watched Gremlins 2.
You haven't seen Gremlins 2?
No, only the original. Because I only watched, man. Gremlins.
Gremlins 2 is.
I only watched Gremlins once, and that was maybe 10 or so years ago, and I didn't really like it. So I.
Oh, wow.
I
didn't
want no, it. You should watch Gremlins 2.
That's what everybody says. So.
It's certainly bonkers. It's something.
Or scrap this and let's watch Gremlins 2.
I almost want to do that, but it's like, I think there are enough things in this movie, enough funny things. And like you said, it's probably good that we're starting literally in the toilet, because we have nowhere to go but up after this.
There's only one other movie I could think of that was comparably involving toilets. And that's, I don't know if you've ever seen the cover or heard of the movie Street Trash, but it's got like a creature coming, like a, or like some abomination reaching out of a trash, or not a trash, a toilet.
Toilet.
Yeah, so that's another movie, but that's not a sequel, so.
In the long line of toilet cover art.
Very prestigious subgenre.
I hear that's going to be the next Criterion box set.
Yeah, there's definitely in the rumor mill.
Well, shall we get into the plot? Nick, a.k.a. Morton Hoof, would you like to explain the so-called plot of Ghoulies 2?
So-called.
So Ghoulies 2 opens up with a nephew and uncle, and they're driving a big old truck. And they're on, well, I guess technically it opens up with a priest. This just kind of gives you exposure to what you can expect a little bit. But really the plot of it relies on the nephew and the uncle. They're driving a big rig. They have this carnival attraction called Satan's Den. The ghoulies hitch a ride.
With rad art, I gotta say.
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it's, well, there's something else I'll say later. But so they got, they hitch a ride on Satan's Den, the big rig. They make their way to the carnival, and the carnival, when they get there, they find out that they will likely be shut down because there's a big wig accountant guy that wants only profits. So he
skipping over like a key scene in the beginning. Like,
well, you're,
I'm not going beat for beat.
Yeah, we're all just right, doing, all right. We'll get to the Ghoulies.
Justice
meats,
for Ghoulies
okay?
2.
We'll get to the meat of Ghoulies 2 here in a second. We're just summarizing the plot for anyone who hasn't seen this turn.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame anyone for not seeing this. Well, I think you guys are probably the only people in the world who would have seen this number 2 and not 1. Like, why would anyone start with 2? But they... So that... There's a bigwig accountant who wants to shut him down because he's all about profits, right? And everybody in the carnival is like, oh, man, you know, this is our livelihood. And justice for the carnival workers. And so they're really relying on a big weekend to rake in the dough to save themselves. And the ghoulies end up kind of helping.
We need a little touch of magic.
We need a star attraction.
Yeah, you got to bring the goodies in Satan's Den. And the ghoulies step up, you know, they're so in the beginning, they're almost helpers. And then they take their shenanigans a little bit too far. A couple of people die.
A couple of people get puked on.
Yeah.
Someone gets maidened.
You got Pit and the Pendulum going on. A lot of cool stuff. But then somehow
a lot of ghoulies struggling as they pull levers with ropes.
and finally, it results in the accountant with a shotgun and the nephew arguing, blowing a hole, and the ghoulies escaping and then just wreaking havoc on the carnival.
Until we get the kaiju ghoulie summoned from hell.
It was a very Power Ranger-esque because it was make my monster grow, and it's the ghoulies, you know.
A big ghoulie comes out from under the hole in the earth and just starts like eating it. We just get scene after scene of him eating the ghoulies.
Could you imagine an anime version of this? It would be so demonic.
Well,
and
can you imagine
disgusting.
If this were done in stop motion like the other effects?
Oh, so that
this was perfect. This was classic guy in rubber suit with like gross slime stuff all over him.
The funniest thing about those scenes to me was that clearly the little original ghoulies are actually not big enough to fit in the big ghoulie's mouth.
Yeah.
So they had to do these funny cuts where every cut, it was like the hand was closer to the mouth. You think he's eating it. I thought that
it was like it reminded me of like old timey sex scenes where like, you know, what's about to happen. And then there's a tasteful zoom into the, like somewhere else, you know? So there's like a shot of him like opening wide, putting the ghoulie towards his face. And then we like zoom in the background kind of.
Director, sir, we didn't make the ghoulie demon's mouth big enough.
Exactly. Uh-oh. That's what's so funny to me. It's like logistically, they did not plan this correctly. Like unless this movie, which I guess I could believe was just written on the fly, like as they were making it. But like for some reason, they just did not think through on how to get little ghoulies into the big ghoulie mouth. That's so funny.
So that's the general plot. They defeat the ghoulies. They send the demon, the big demon that's eating the smaller demons back to hell. We'll get to that. But that's the basic plot. But this movie starts off, as Mike suggested, with a hell of an opener, I gotta say. In like perfect B-movie fashion, we get what is probably my favorite moment in the movie and one of my favorite tropes of B-movies in general. A giant open vat of toxic materials.
Extremely toxic.
And it's not even like in like an industrial waste facility or something like that. Like he's so the priest is like running with a bag of ghoulies and he finds shelter.
That statement alone is perfect. So a priest running with a bag of ghoulies.
He's running with a bag of ghoulies being chased by like red robed Satanists.
Who we never see again.
Yeah, it never comes up again. Again, this is why I'm like, oh, surely this is how the first movie ended.
That very opening scene, I thought it was very in line with the original. And so I was thinking, okay, they're just going to do more of the same, which I was on board for because I liked the first one. And the first one...
When you saw the toxic vat, is that when you were like, oh, no?
Well, exactly. That's like the very first thing that happens. I'm like, okay, this is... way
that's
more
when I was like, oh yes.
But I love this that it's there's a big giant ass label. I don't know. I think you watched an SD, but it says extremely toxic. It's so funny.
I did watch an SD and I recommend it.
Yeah.
This is how this movie should be seen.
Yeah. Do not buy the Blu-ray.
4K restoration.
I am waiting for the 4K. Yeah. But the first scene of these satanic priests chasing this Catholic priest is almost like Halloween 3-esque in a way to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe it's just because of the gas station. I don't know. But it had a very a low-key vibe where it was like kind of, well, supposed to be suspenseful, obviously. But that's what it kind of reminded me of.
There was no music either. I was like, this is supposed to be tense, but it's just like these guys in these red hoods like awkwardly chasing this priest. They're like, go.
That's what made it that first scene so interesting to me, is like there was no music. And I'm like, okay, in some weird ways, this is almost more suspenseful because it's not artificial. But so I liked, like I said, that first scene is a total red herring for what we're going to get later on.
Well, there's a, in the car mechanic shop, I think it is, there's a giant vat of, it's like a Comic Zone. It's like the video game Comic Zone sized vat.
Filled to the brim and open.
And like overflowing with like mist, you know, or fog.
With a single light over it.
Yeah, caution, very toxic waste, like, et cetera. And the priest like smiles and is like, oh, thank you, Lord. And just like drops the... I kind of love this movie. And he sees the vat and just like, thank you, Lord, and drops the vat. Drops the sack of ghoulies into the toxic waste. And you hear like the muttering, like, me, me, me.
Very cute, by the way. The sounds they make are very cute.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about the ghoulies themselves, especially in this one. They're like, it's this weird, grotesque mixture of creepy cute. Like
they're like little stinkers.
Yeah, they're
like,
Like, I feel like the gremlins is a little, you know, more funny, but like even the voices they make are more like, whereas these are like me.
So when he drops the thing in, I think like a flying ghoulie was like
out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of nowhere. I don't know where this flying ghoulie came from. Just like hits him and knocks him into the vat, and he's like, whoa! And you just get the like, it's so good. Where like his like disgusting like toxic wasted corpse is like floating up with like gore and stuff.
That was a fun
and,
effect.
Yeah, there's a
and
cool then, skull that shows up.
Yeah,
it's all bloody.
Like a bloody skull. Yeah. But then you see the ghoulies like climb out like...
They're indestructible on the outside.
I have questions about that scene.
But this is when the kid and his uncle show up, played by Royal Dano, which I don't know if you noticed, Mike, but this is not the first time we've seen Royal Dano on the Shocktober promotion.
I thought it was Johnny Depp. I mean, obviously, I know it's not Johnny Depp. But
well, no, not the kid, the uncle.
Oh, the kid. Well, so the kid and uncle, the kid I did think was at first Johnny Depp. I had to like, what is that Johnny Depp? So what have we seen Royal Dano in?
Royal Dano was in last year's Killer Clowns from Outer Space. You recall
similar movie.
Yes, he is the, and he looks and acts almost exactly the same in this movie. He is like the farmer who sees like the meteor come down. He's like, "Oh, what's that?" And he goes with his gun or pitchfork or whatever the hell. And he's the one that gets shocked outside. He's the first death, I think, in Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
He was shocked in Killer Clowns.
Yes, and he's shocked to death in this movie, yeah. Too.
I like this more than Killer Clowns.
That's hard. I don't know what to say to that. I don't know if it is better or worse or the same as Killer Clowns, because I did not like Killer Clowns.
I didn't either. I think it's shorter than Killer Clowns. I think you actually see some deaths, unlike in Killer Clowns where they're constantly cutting away. And yeah. It doesn't have the same song playing constantly.
Oh, God,
that was a big problem with me for Killer Clowns.
Oof. See, that's the thing. I don't want to revisit Killer Clowns from Outer Space to determine if this is better or worse. So I'm not going to know.
I don't want to access that part of my brain.
Exactly. I opened the book. I said the incantation and Killer Clowns from Outer Space is gone. So I don't want it to come back.
Yeah. And like we see like they're like a traveling fair. It's not quite a circus, I don't think. It's like a carnival. And they're specifically, it seems like they're running like the Black House, I think it's called. You know, those like or Dark House or whatever.
The Haunted House.
The Haunted House. Okay, yeah, Haunted House.
Or Satan's Den.
Yeah, and it looks like rad. Like there's paint on the side of this van that like someone painted this. I think it's pretty cool. Like it looks
like a sleazy
80s carnival in a way I liked.
Well, that was the thing. I had a question about Satan's Den and this carnival in general. So Satan's Den. So conceivably, everything we see inside Satan's Den is inside that truck. Is what they're suggesting.
Yeah.
But when we go in, it is like a full-on building in there. There's a ton of shit. I'm like, how does this fit inside this truck? It doesn't make
any really
sense.
They're really good at packing.
Royal Dano was a
magician.
A genius. Yeah, he was a magician. He just cast some spells, and the truck was essentially a giant bag of holding, and they just fit everything in there.
Yeah, were able to open up portals to hell. I bet the truck is a portal to hell, and they're storing things in hell somewhere.
All right, question solved. All right. Well, so my second question, this carnival is weird to me because it seems to have, it definitely has its foot in like older carnival tradition. Like you have like a freak show, you have like essentially just like ladies dancing sexily.
Full on nudity in like the paintings.
In the painting specifically, and you got like a strong man, like it seems like if you go to like the state fair or something like that, you're not going to see stuff like this. I'm wondering, like, is this something you would see in a traveling carnival? And were carnivals like this still a thing like in the 90s and 2000s?
Well, this was the 80s, not the 90s.
Oh, true. Right.
Or the 2000s. I'm guessing like... With my expert knowledge of just guessing, I bet there was like some of these still around in places.
Traveling carnivals?
I bet it was not the mainstream, but I bet like there was the occasional like, you know, I bet a lot in like New Jersey or, you know, like the East Coast had a lot of them.
Those dirty New Jerseyans.
It's funny that Dave says that because what I was actually thinking is this carnival almost seems like out of time in a way.
That's what I thought.
And I was like, if this movie had been based, I don't know, like the 50s or something like that, And because the, like I said, the effects and everything like that is, or like what's going on in the Satan's Den, it all seems a little more outdated than what we get. But what I like of that the movie does in the beginning, like I said, in the beginning, the first, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, this movie seems like it might start doing some interesting stuff. And there's this, I don't know if I'm just reaching here, but there's like this meta critique on them saying, oh, you know, the kids don't like this stuff anymore. They talk about like seeing massacres on TV or something like that every day at the movies or something like that. But anyways, it's like, to me, it was like this commentary on that kids aren't into the old stuff, which also kind of ties into the first movie, which is very traditionally like satanic cult movie. And so I could see them saying like, oh, you know, kids didn't like that. So they want the gore and all that stuff. And so I was thinking about that. So I don't know, this movie, I think I'm probably giving it too much credit in that regard, but nonetheless, like I did see something like that.
You're talking about a better movie, because this movie like accidentally backs up into that premise a little bit. What you're describing is sounds like a good horror movie. You got this old guy who's in his old ways. And maybe it would have cleaned it up a bit more if he was the original owner or if he's fighting to own the place, whatever. But as you said, like Satan's Den is lame. Kids don't like it. You got these like robots coming out like, ugh. You know what I mean? It's like that. It's lame. So people demand more, and it's only by accident that the ghoulies come and people see them and they think, oh, those are cool. They're gory. Like that's what the movie should have been, is like the ghoulies like do some crazy stuff. Audiences see it. They love it. But the craziness of the ghoulies and their act like amps up and gets more violent. And that's when it gets out of control. And then they release them. I that would have been a really cool movie.
If they had
really leaned into that,
you know what?
I don't think they do though.
Here's the conundrum about Satan's Den. Satan's Den would make a cool goth club, and when the gang of
Satan's Den is cool. I like Satan's Den.
Well, when the punk kids with the tunes were dancing in there, I'm like, yeah, you know, you play some Christian death or something like that in there. You do the goth dance, like that would be a cool place. But for a carnival, I would be like those kids, like, this is lame.
Nick's the guy who comes in his Porsche with sunglasses and like, I want to buy you out. I'm turning this into a goth club.
That would turn a profit.
And it would turn a profit.
But I
sell glow sticks. It's going to be amazing.
But that Satan's Den is, I mean, it's funny that in the beginning, the ghoulies almost help them. Like they start get like all the and it's so funny, like these little kids are able to convince this crowd of people to go in.
Yes.
That's such a funny scene. Like
little rats.
These two little kids have the first interactions with the ghoulies, or some of the first interactions, and they are like, wow, now this is cool. We got to tell everybody. And it just cuts to like the kids with like a crowd of mostly adults, like, oh, yeah, okay, let's go. And like a mob of
people storms.
Like, could
you imagine hearing these kids? Like, they're probably, if I was hearing them, I think they were probably talking about just real rats.
Yes. And like, oh, you saw a rat in the haunted house.
I don't want to go in there.
Caught the star in its mouth and started to chew on me. And then it spit this goo all over me. Let's both get some more tickets. Come on.
But there is literally a line, and this is the best line in the movie. You hear it in the background as the kids are pitching it.
Rats, no kidding. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds terrific.
This movie's like, great.
Who are these people?
I was like laughing to myself watching this. Like,
the crowd is the best.
Crowd, like that shot of like the smash cut of like, let's tell everybody, like a crowd of like, I expected them to be telling like their friends, but like a mob.
It's just a random crowd.
These kids are like now leading a mob.
it would make more sense if it was like a crowd of kids, because they could convince them, but it's
and these kids are like six, like they're little kids.
Yeah, and you know what else was funny? The kid, this cracked me up. The older kid he pulls out a ninja star.
Yes, he has it at the ready.
You know, kids in the 80s, they were just walking around with ninja stars.
Yeah, when they have the first interaction with the ghoulies, and they're like, oh, whoa, like, what? Why does he pull it out? Like, it just is like, whoa, like, it's, he just threw a ninja
spit
star
on him,
out.
Right? He spit.
Oh, yeah, the ghoulie spits his green goo, so you gotta, and he's just like, boom.
Well, I'm gonna show you, little rat. And then he throws the ninja star, and then he...
Catches it in his mouth.
Tink, yeah. Like a good throw. It like gets, yeah, it basically would have killed the ghoulie if the ghoulie wasn't strong on the outside.
Right. But
and then he
the
eats
inside.
The ninja star.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That was a fun moment. And that instantly changes the kids. The kids are both like, awesome.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. They're not like, ah, but they're like, yeah.
And that's when the crowd comes in. Rats, 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 rats.
I love that stuff.
But the problem with this is I feel like the movie doesn't really lean into this concept at this point, and it takes too long to get here. Like, I figured this out immediately, like, in the, and not to say that this movie is like hard to, you know, decipher what they're going for, but it's just like, I'm like,
it's
okay,
like
cool. I caught on pretty quick. Like, okay, they're fledgling haunted house, like they're the lowest earner in the carnival, and this douchey 80s corporate guy is gonna, you know, they bought control of the place or whatever, and now it's like, you need to make money or get out. And I'm like, perfect, the ghoulies are here now, they're in their perfect environment. The ghoulies love it, by the way. The ghoulies stay in there, they don't make an attempt to leave. They're like, no, this place is great, it's like a torture chamber, there's Dracula, there's a mummy, this is awesome.
Teens, like, come in, we can kill.
Exactly. But it's just like, they don't lean into that concept enough, and it takes to get there, because I feel like the audience figures out, at least I did, it's like, okay, this is a fun concept for a B horror movie.
This, like, is where like a Gremlins 2 would have had the ghoulies like putting on little like Dracula outfits.
Yes.
Like,
but it doesn't lean into that concept enough. Like, that should be the whole movie. Like, this is one of those movies where I'm just like, when we started it, part of your pitch, Hoof, a.k.a. Nick, a.k.a. Morton Hoof, was, don't worry, it's only 89 minutes. So I'm just like, okay, well, that's not too bad. But this is one of those short movies where I'm like, you could cut 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, there are scenes of here that are, like, obvious, like, stretching for time. Even the credits, like, the opening credits is just, like, it's pretty long, and it's just a shot of the moon.
But that's cool. I love that. That's, I swear, like, this movie, the first, skipping to the end of my recommendation or not, just, if you watch, like, the first 5 minutes and then use your own imagination for what comes after, you will have watched a better movie.
It's all downhill after the moon shot.
You never seen a moon that full.
Yeah, I mean, like, to be clear, I know this is not a good movie.
I did rate it 5 stars on Letterboxd. I do it
on a Paco box. Paco 5 stars.
A Paco box 5 star rating.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I was actually getting excited to where in like the first chunk, because I'm like, ooh, this is a fun concept. Like, they're gonna start killing things and then people, and it's gonna get out of hand. But it just doesn't go crazy enough. And in fact, like, oftentimes I feel like it cuts away from the gore. I'm like, either they
sometimes
didn't show
it
or they couldn't afford it.
There was a scene, so in the torture room that they take over, they strap a guy up to like a pit in the pendulum type device, and there's lots of scenes of the ghoulies like cranking, like pulling a lever of ropes to like stretch out his limbs. And I was really hoping we were going to get like a, you know, all the limbs pop out kind of scene, like something like that. Like, that's the kind of thing this movie needed. Just some, like, I mean, I didn't want it to be like a hyper realistic, like Hostile. To be
it
clear,
wouldn't be.
Like,
it would
yeah, in a movie
like
this, it
like
would have been
arms
like
being
cartoony.
Pulled out of a dummy mannequin body with some with ketchup on it.
Yeah, right. I mean, you do get, and that's kind of what happens in the beginning. Like, you do get a cool death in the very beginning with the priest in the vat. So something more along those lines.
Right. So I was like, it wasn't crazy for me to think that might be happening, but the priest's death is probably the coolest death.
Well, there's a severed arm. Later in the movie.
And the Iron Maiden reveal is cool.
Yeah.
But Yeah, there is too much. There's a lot of, like, the pin, the pendulum, like, I think kills him by, like, slicing him, but it doesn't, the effect is terrible. It's like, it just looks like they squeeze some ketchup on a guy who's clearly not injured.
Yeah. Like, there's just not enough. I know this is a bad movie, but I was going to say, there's not enough tension in this movie, which sounds stupid to say when you're talking about Ghoulies 2, but I don't feel like the movie even bothers to even set that up. Like, the music is terrible. I know it's a low budget, but it's just like the way it's shot, like, it's just, there's nothing about it that even approaches scary or tense, and it's not funny enough to be like goofy bad. You know what I mean?
Well, it, like, in my opinion, the goofy bad stuff happens when they get unleashed on the carnival. Like, so,
yeah,
like,
it's like the
their budget went there. Which
I think everything with the characters is pretty goofy bad. Like, everyone's a cartoon in this. Like, the alcoholic uncle who's just, like, comically alcoholic, just constantly drinking from a flask.
Well, I mean, specifically with the Ghoulies, I feel like they don't lean into that craziness enough. You know what I mean? Or at least they don't have the wherewithal or the budget to show any of that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And the movie, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a snore when it's not the Ghoulies, and they have, like, a couple different threads going that they just don't, you know, manage to handle very well. Like, because even I think, like, I appreciate the idea of this bigwig corporate guy coming in to shut down the carnival.
Who I think he's connected, because the carnival is run by, like, Hardin Enterprises, and he is baby boy Hardin.
Yeah.
And the whole time he's like, I was sent here by the board to, like, crack down. And everyone's like, the board? You mean your dad?
Well, that's a question right there. So has the suggestion been that, is the suggestion that, like, the dad used to own it, but now he's being phased out, and maybe the dad was a little more sympathetic?
No, I think it's just like the dad is like Daddy Hardin
they
Industries.
Bought him out.
No, like, I think they owned the carnival originally, or they bought it, but they clearly own the carnival, and I think the dad is still, like, Daddy Hardin, but I think he just, like, sent his son in, like, hey, son, part of your job duties are, like, making more money in all of Hardin Industries. What can you fix the carnival? And so he's, like, eager to please dad by, like, making the carnival turn a profit.
Well, that made me ask, like, what kind of corporation buys a carnival?
They owned it already. They didn't buy it.
Like, well, going back further, like, I'm just, like, the origin, I'm like, how profitable is a carnival, especially this one? Like, a traveling, like,
it's not
B-grade carnival. Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm just curious of the origin of Hardin Enterprises buying this crappy carnival. It's like, how much were they looking to make off of this? Like, you just don't hear about corporations buying traveling carnivals.
But it didn't... It didn't start like that.
I just thought it was an interesting, like,
I wish you listeners could see Nick's face right now.
No, I'm not saying this ruined the movie. It was an interesting thing in the back of my head. This is not the bread again, okay?
Well, no,
this
why,
is not the bread on the table.
This might be the bread again.
No.
You're making up a story that is not said. Like, no one said that's what happened.
No, I know. This is all me. This is all me coming to this with my craziness.
But, like, Hardin.
My psychosis.
I think Hardin always owned the carnival.
Yes.
I think,
why can't we just say, this is what I believe. I believe that the carnival has been in the Hardin family's possession for decades.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay, so I want to see the origins of the Hardin Enterprises corporate hold in this carnival. Like, so maybe
you want to see the inner workings of the Hardin financial statements.
I just thought that was interesting because it's just two worlds. You have these two worlds of, like, these carnies, and, like we said, it's a very old fashioned type of carnival, and this corporate douche that comes in. They're two worlds that don't match. So I was
I think, like, maybe the meat of your question is, like, what else does Hardin Industries do?
Well, I think this could have been an interesting thing the movie could have done. Like, maybe the father or even the grandfather, like, you know, maybe originally they were, like, a carny. You know what I mean? Like, they you know what I mean? Like, that could have been an interesting thing that the movie could have done. Like, you have the tension
where, like, the dad is, like, trying to, like, no, screw it, we just need the money. But then the grandpa, who's, like, back, he's like,
but I started in the circus in the
20s. Way of life.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what I'm getting at.
Now you're
that
doing
could've
what
been
I did earlier, where you're making a better movie.
That's the problem with Ghoulies 2. You're watching it and you're thinking of better things the movie could have been. You're thinking of better movies as you're watching it.
I like Nick, like, man, this should have been anime.
Well, infamously, oh. I'm always like, this would always be better as anime.
oh, God.
But I think, you know, I think that you're, I don't disagree with you saying that that would be a better movie, but I just think that, like, this movie is just clearly, like, on a shoestring budget. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's one, I think the most expensive scene to me looks like when they exploded the big ghoulie. That one probably drained a quarter of their budget.
just renting out an actual carnival.
Yeah, so like, but we haven't talked about the ghoulies getting unleashed on the carnival, which I think is like when if you kind of skip Satan's Den, essentially, go from before entering Satan's Den to the carnival, like you could have like a funny like 20-minute thing, because the ghoulies are like, this is the most gremlin-esque shot to, or scene to me, is when the one, I don't know what he, oh, he's a cat ghoulie and he's shooting the gun that is like,
yeah, you know, pew, pew. That's a shooting funny gallery scene concept, but I think a lot of the problem I had with a lot of these scenes, it's like, this is good, this is what the movie should be doing. The problem is, I think they hang on to these moments a little too long than they need to, and the problem is they only have four ghoulies to play with, whereas in Gremlins there were dozens and dozens of them, so you have more of an opportunity to cut between all these wild things happening, whereas in Ghoulies 2 there's only four ghoulies, so it's very restrictive.
Yeah,
and there's only so much you can do, so it's like, in a scene like this you want there to be shenanigans everywhere, but you only get like a few scattered things, and it doesn't live up to the what the premise could be. That said, it is a funny concept where the ghoulie is like shooting the other ghoulie, and the ghoulie's like trying to dodge the things, like, hey, hey, you can't get me yet, you know what I mean? Like, that's fun. The ghoulie's playing the trick shot game or whatever.
Yeah, the ghoulies, I mean, they're no gremlins, so I'll give you that for sure. But but I will say, the ghoulies...
Mike, you look like I've just stepped all over your dreams as a bad-mouthing ghoulies.
Oh, no, no, you're not wrong.
I'm sorry, Mike. I know this is your new favorite movie, but I don't mean to shit all over
getting the Ghoulies 2 tattoo. Ghoulies 2 for life.
I'm sorry, you were saying, Nick?
Well, I was just gonna say the ghoulies themselves are cool. Like, they look cool. I love the look of them. I love the practical effects aspect of them. I really love the scenes where I guess they use a green screen where the ghoulies are like walking, and it shows them like their full figure walking. Because most of the scenes, there's this one scene, it's so funny to me. I think it's when the guy is like tied to the plank, and there's a ghoulie is walking on him, but you just see the hooves, and I love that he's got hooves. But you just see these legs walking on. You don't see the upper body, and I can just imagine like someone like with their fingers in these hooves, just going like boop, 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 like poking this guy with their hooves. But there's another scene when they escape, and it's a full figure of the ghoulie, and you can see them like standing upright, or I think one's on all fours or whatever. But then they're moving on their own, so you can tell there's some.
Are those claymation shots when it's like?
When you see them fully walking, like in full shot, that's stop motion. And yeah, I agree. They do look good.
Those stop motion shots are cool. Like, but I'm guessing those are, you know, pretty expensive or time intensive. So
there's only a few in the movie.
Yeah, I think there's two of them. So
yeah.
But those.
Where do they find the book of satanic rituals to summon the big ghoulie?
This is, well, it was the uncle's book that he used in the beginning of the movie in the truck.
Oh, like, right.
We need some magic, man. Our place is getting bought.
He thinks he summoned the ghoulies from hell, but he didn't. They came from the Satan's sack, or the priest's sack.
Oh, that's a good point. Because the ghoulies don't come about as a result of the book. Like, they're just in the bag that the priest has. But the book is able to send them back to hell, I guess. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, it's all about the magic and who has that magic. And clearly the nephew had that magic. But the
nephew isn't the one who says the spell. It's the other guy, the Sir Nigel.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sir Nigel says all the spells, so he had the magic.
So it's kind of like, it's almost like the ending of The Last Jedi. It's like, you know, anyone can have the Force. You know what I mean?
Well, when you were talking about wanting to see the corporate holding process, I was like, oh, you want the Ghoulies prequel. yes.
I want the Senate scenes. I want it all. I want the trade disputes.
I am the carnival.
Oh, my God.
I hate toxic waste. It gets everywhere.
Oh my God. Well, shall we get to the, I mean, unless you guys want, I mean, there are some other funny bits, like with the bumper cars, like, you know, which is, you know, that's pretty standard. That reminded me of like Final Destination, honestly, of like, you know, there's always that fear. You always see, sometimes you'll see like a YouTube video of like a carnival ride gone wrong and like the thing malfunctions or something. You're like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's always a horror. That's always a something that's always frightened me about carnivals is they're poorly run. They're poorly manned, like the machines. Like I'm always scared that they're poorly maintained and they're going to like break down or something. I'm going to be like flung off and turn into a miniature and explode.
So I think I have mixed feelings about the bumper car death. I like it. But there's one death that I was, as it was happening, because they have like these different cutscenes, right, building up to what's the death and everything. And there was one that I was actually really interested in how they were going to pull it off. And I think to a degree it works. And that's, I don't know what the ride is called, but it's like, when I was a kid, the carnival was, or they had the octopus ride where.
Well, that's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. So that one, but they have the ghoulie. He's like by the, it's not a lever. It's a lock mechanism or whatever, and he's trying to loosen it, and there's two people like in the car, and so they're gonna go flying, and I'm like, okay, so how, and I mean they show something fly, but
well, that's what I mean when I said you get turned into a miniature and you die. Yeah. That looked like something that someone tossed like a size of a baseball and it created a small explosion.
Yeah.
That was not a great looking effect, but I was like, the conceit of the setup is fun, I suppose. But shall we get to the main thing, the thing that the cover art promises is going to happen?
Wait, we can't skip the big ghoulie.
That comes after, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because okay. The little...
We'll get to the ghoulie, main ghoulie.
That's how there's a Ghoulies 3, because this ghoulie that does what Dave is going to talk about does not survives. Get eaten by the big ghoulie. And here's a little
something
voice.
Has survived. But the main
evil did not die tonight.
And it needs a degree.
So while hell breaks loose, the ghoulies are loose in the circus, in the carnival, and the main, I forget his name, let's just call him Corporate Douche. He sees everything crumbling around him. Oh God, what is happening? So what's his response? He runs into the bathroom. He's like, I gotta take a dump. Ah!
You can relate because to this, Dave.
I thought this was funny because I just assumed, okay, maybe he's just gonna throw up or he's gonna go in the bathroom or just hide. But no, he actually takes his pants down like he's gonna take a dump. That was surprising to me. He's like, oh, I gotta poop now. Well,
you can tell this is the direct predecessor to the famous Jurassic Park scene.
Yes. But it's so funny because as soon as he goes into the bathroom, I'm like, yes, finally.
It's Dave is like,
of course, Dave is like,
Dave is like sitting up in his seat.
Come on, that cover is so like, that's the thing that grabs you and makes you want to watch this movie. Oh my God, there are little turd looking monsters that are going to come out of the toilet and kill you. And in fact, what is the poster of this movie says it all, the tagline. It is the tagline for this movie is they'll get you in the end again. So it's implying that they're gonna like come up and like get you in your butt, you know what I mean? So when this scene starts to unravel, I'm like, or when it starts to unfold, I'm like, yes, finally it's delivering on the promise. But it cuts away. You just see him on the toilet, and then that's it. I'm like, it was so underwhelming and deflating and disappointing.
Okay, let me throw something out there that I read on the Chattopedia that may make you like this movie more, Dave. Apparently, both of these movies sparked a bit of controversy and outrage among mothers because it made their kids afraid to use the bathroom.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm talking about. When you see that cover, like, it's like the same thing with Silent Night, Deadly Night. Like, how dare they? This is a controversy. They're making Santa evil. It's like, how dare they? They're demonizing the toilet. Like, they can't do this. You know what I mean? It's like, that is cool. That is fun. That's what movies like this, like, live on, is that hook. But it just doesn't do anything with it. A guy sits in the toilet, you see the ghoulie pop its head out, you're like, yes, this is gonna be awesome. And then it just shows him struggling a little on the toilet, it cuts away. I'm like, that is a sin. A cinema.
I like that scene.
Have to beep that.
You know what? I'm gonna go to bat for this scene because it did not let me down. Instead, it was almost like, I don't know, it had its cake and eat it too, because it shows the ghoulie, like, you know, his hand pops out of the toilet. He doesn't see it. And then it shows like the guy just screaming. He's like, and like, you could just imagine the ghoulie like reaching up into his butthole or something like that. So you,
what did you want,
butthole?
Dave? You want,
here's a question. How did this toilet scene compare to the, I'm assuming there's a toilet scene in the first movie, right?
So the good toilet question. Scene is like a blip. It's if you're sad about the toilet scene in this movie, then you will hate Ghoulies 1, because there is a flash of a toilet, but it's just like nothing in the first one.
So it sounds like maybe, I'm gonna guess, I don't know, but I'm gonna guess that maybe, so it doesn't seem like that really happened in the first movie. Maybe the whole idea of this toilet thing was like, they just had like someone had a really funny idea for the poster. And like I said, these movies back in the day lived and died by their poster, because that's what sucked people in and made them want to watch it. So while that wasn't in the movie, that was a really good idea for promotional art. Problem is, you know, that's now in people's minds. So if you're going to make a sequel, it's like, well, shit, we got to deliver on the toilet gag, because that's what people think this movie is. It's all about, you know, demon turd monsters coming out of the toilet and grabbing you in your butthole. You know? So it's like, you need to deliver in the sequel, and they don't.
I wonder if Ghoulies 3 has, if in college they have a toilet scene.
Yeah, the poster looks like they're in their graduation gear coming out of the toilet.
I'm assuming that it's a similar picture, but they're wearing like the hats. What are they called?
Cap and gown.
The cap and gown.
Well, I'm sorry that you were dissatisfied with the toilet scene, Dave.
My whole life, you know, going into video stores as a kid, seeing the cover art for these two movies, like, I was always like, I should probably rent that, but I'll probably make me too afraid to use the bathroom again. You know what I mean? But no, like, it's just like, I didn't think I would be so disappointed. I knew this wouldn't probably
You've
be a
built
good
this
movie.
Up for life.
I knew this wouldn't be a good movie, but I was at least hoping like there will at least be a fun scene involving a toilet. And it's technically in here, but it just doesn't go all like, forget the giant monster blowing up and that we'll talk about in a minute. This is where your budget should have gone. Like, buttholes getting probed by demon turd monsters in a toilet bowl. That's where the budget should have gone.
Someone just clip that.
Release the butthole cut.
But no, it makes sense that you want to spend most of your budget on the climax, the big thing. But what I'm saying is the toilet should have been the climax. But anyway.
Maybe they should have done something where when they open the portal to get the ghoulies back into hell, it comes from the toilet.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, you're just making a better movie here.
The big ghoulie coming out of the toilet, and like, it breaks the toilet around it.
Well, just
as
imagine
it comes
it's
out.
Like, it's kind of like a weird, you know, they can put like a crappy effect where like somehow the big, when they suck him back in, somehow the big ghoulie is like shrinking down into the toilet. Like, that would have been great.
5 stars.
That would have been at least 3 for me, 3-star masterpiece. But Mike, why don't you tell us, as I said before, this is your favorite movie and this is one of your favorite scenes in the movie, the giant ghoulie that appears.
So they summon a portal to hell. It's just like a hole in the ground with the fog machine. And the big ghoulie comes out. That is, I like, Nick, you're right. It's a Power Rangers.
Yeah. Villain. I'm shocked that Saban didn't reuse this for an episode.
You don't know that he didn't.
Yeah, this is actually in season 2, episode 36.
Yeah, and it's just like a guy in a ghoulie suit. It
very limited movement.
Make my limbering around, and he slowly lumbers over to eat all the ghoulies, which is cool. And that's like the spell to get rid of the ghoulies, I guess, is there's a big ghoulie that eats the ghoulies. And they're like, yeah, wait a minute, what about us? Like, we don't have a spell to go make it go back. And the ghoulies starts to, like, after it eats all the ghoulies, it like looks at them and is like, the humans are like, rah, rah, I'm gonna eat you.
Well, and specifically Sir Nigel.
Oh right, the little person, because he's gonna be easier to eat, I guess, although he's not, no one's gonna be easy to eat for this guy, because he can't fit anything in his mouth. And they like hide in a trailer, and as the big ghoulie's like shaking the trailer, one of the characters is like, wait a minute, this gorilla costume, also a bottle of wine, also a jar of kerosene, I can make a Molotov cocktail and put it in the gorilla costume. He'll eat the gorilla with the lit Molotov cocktail, somehow not put out the fire.
That's what I was thinking too. Somehow the fire's not put out.
Somehow the fire keeps raging all the way into his belly, and it kind of jostles and blows up eventually like a Molotov cocktail when you throw it. And that's what happens.
I was assuming they were going to put all that like flammable liquid into him and then somehow like either shoot him in the mouth or like throw some sort of lit thing in his mouth.
There's a lot more like sensible ways they could have done this, I think. This is a really obtuse plan that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Almost as if this film was written on the fly.
I don't know.
It's like they wanted the big ghoulie to explode and work their way back from there.
Yes.
I don't know if there's ever been a movie that's given me more confidence in my ability to make a movie.
I almost want to like, I want to like fund a movie much in the way that Hardin Enterprises is now funding this carnival. I want to fund the Ghoulies 2 remake. And I'm not making a remake to Ghoulies 1. I'm specifically remaking Ghoulies 2. We're doing it again. We're going to get you in the end. Again.
Again.
80 again. Of the 89 minutes is going to be toilet scenes.
Honestly, this is a concept. I feel like this is something we've said a lot, like particularly in Shocktober episodes. But I feel like this is a concept that I think would be better served in like, you know, a TV show time constraint, like maybe 30 to 40 minutes. You know what I mean?
You know, the right way to watch this movie is something featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000 or something.
Yeah,
like
or
that.
Yeah, where they're making fun. Yeah, exactly. Because there, I think the problem, like the main problem I have with this movie is like there's just too many lulls where it's just, and I'm not, I don't mean lulls, LOLs, I mean like lulls, like it slows down. There aren't enough lulls. I wanted more lulls.
You tell them, Dave.
It's just like, like you said, like any scene that doesn't feature the ghoulies is honestly like at a point it starts to get painfully boring and I'm just like, next. You know what I mean?
You're not wrong.
It's never a good sign when you're, you know, you have an 89-minute movie that feels double its length. You're like, ugh. But having said that, I don't know if this is necessarily the worst movie we've watched on the show before.
Not a chance. This is better than Cutthroat Island. Easy. I like just.
I mean, it's definitely shorter. Somewhere Yana is like yelling in the distance, like I love that movie, but. Yeah, as bad as it is, it's not the worst thing we've ever watched. And you know, honestly, I'm fine opening up Shocktober 2 with this movie.
It sets the expectation low. So
well, and also this is the carnival barker thing. Like, we got turd monsters on toilets. Come one, come all. This is what we use to get people into the store with this poster, and then once they're in, we lock the door and we show them better movies.
I like that.
Trap the customer base. Perfect. Don't let them leave. Well, did anyone have any other thoughts on Ghoulies 2, or should we flush this thing?
I will say that if you are listening and you are choosing between Ghoulies 1 and Ghoulies 2, Ghoulies 1 is a more traditional horror film in a sense, and I like it's also not a great movie, but it's a lot better. This movie is really bad. This Ghoulies 1 is twice as good as Ghoulies 2. I'll say that.
But also bad.
Yeah, I mean, objectively a bad movie, but a lot more fun.
But a more enjoyable bad movie.
There's not a lot. There's not as many snoozes in Ghoulies 1. I'll say that.
More lulls and less lulls.
Yes, I was lulling for sure in Ghoulies 1.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
It was fine. It was.
It's my favorite.
It's my favorite movie ever. This is filmmaking at its finest. I don't know. It wasn't good, but I thought this was like a nice kind of like late night, have some drinks, eat some popcorn kind of movie.
Another thing we always say on the show is like, this would be a good movie to have on in the background of like a barcade or something
Sure.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because I don't know, I wouldn't say this definitely isn't excessively gory. There are gory moments, but not to the point where it's like, oh my God. Like, I'm trying to think, was there anything that was like really excessively gory?
No, the most is definitely the head in the beginning and the bat.
But the ironic thing is you see a head similar to that on the side of the truck on the art. You know what I mean? There's like a fleshy looking head like that on the side of the Satan's Den truck.
Pretty thoughtful filmmaking.
Yeah, foreshadowing. We love it. But I feel like I've seen worse movies in terms of gore projected on the wall in barcades than this. So it's like, I feel like this would be a good candidate for something like that. However, if you're programming like a Shocktober lineup of your own, like Nick said, go with Ghoulies 1, or the better option, either Gremlins or Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Gremlins 2. I mean, definitely Gremlins 2.
Go with one of those three movies over Ghoulies 2. Having said that, if you're listening to this, you've already endured the torture and you can't escape. So I'm sorry. It's too late for you. We got you in the end after all.
Alternatively, there's also Critters.
Oh, Critters. Another VHS store classic. Oh, again, like Raphael says, will they come up with this stuff?
Shocktober 3, Critters 3.
Oh, God.
Critters get a master's degree.
Another Shout Factory Blu-ray extravaganza.
Triple pack or something.
Yeah, they have a Critters pack.
Of course they do. Well, that'll do it for the first entry of Shocktober 2. There's nowhere to go but up, folks. Things are looking up now. We started in the toilet, and now we're ascending to... Help me out here.
Ascending to... the sink to wash our hands.
Sure.
Out of the toilet into the sink.
Yes. But that will do it. We'll see you next time, if you dare. This is where your budget should have gone. Like, buttholes getting probed by demon turd monsters in a toilet bowl. That's where the budget should have gone.
Ugh. Where did they come up with this stuff?